Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. I am just delighted to be here tonight, really. I just thank God He's making a way for us. So many things are strange and contrary, but God is the same, and He is with His people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been quite a day for me, I must say. I did get news. My friend Wild in the state of Washington called me this morning and told me that her mother died about 7:15. So I had a little time to pray and cry with her. You know, as some of you may know, she's been on our prayer list and been lifting this dear woman up to the Lord. And it just seemed that, you know, this last weekend she started to really decline. And so it is that God took her home today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you that there is none like unto you, Lord. Oh, God, you are the Savior of our soul, Lord. Oh, God, you are our God. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we love you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would minister to us tonight. I pray that you would talk to our hearts. I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to get ready. Oh, God, so that we can stand before thee, dressed in thy righteousness alone, Lord. Oh, Lord, faultless to stand before thy throne. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us, Jesus. I pray that you'd talk to us. I pray, oh, God, that it would come to mind those things that we yet need to do, Lord. Oh, God, that you would talk to us, that you prepare us. Oh, God, that you talk in our hearts. God, I pray tonight that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. I pray that you would, oh, God, convict of sin, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would encourage those that are discouraged, those that need help, oh, Lord God, those that need thy healing virtue, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, Lord. Oh, we owe it all to thee, Lord. Thou hast paid such a price for our salvation. Thou hast bought us. Thou hast redeemed us, oh, God. And I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, that we could indeed stand before thee, oh, Lord, dressed in thy righteousness alone. Oh, Lord Jesus, able to stand before thee, give a good account, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us here tonight. I just pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you would move, Lord, and, oh, God, that your great love for us, oh, God, would be revealed in a greater way, with a greater perception, Lord, oh, God, that you would move here tonight. God, you know the needs of your people, Lord, and I just pray that you would break, oh, Lord, those heavy burdens that need to be broken, Lord. Oh, God, that you deliver those that need to be delivered. Oh, God, that you'd heal the sick, Lord. And, oh, God, that you bring salvation to those who do not yet know thee, Lord. I pray that you would fill, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, Lord, that thy Spirit would fall upon us, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus, and we praise you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. I just pray that you would work, God. Oh, God, that you would talk to our hearts and tug at our hearts. Draw us close to thee, I pray, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. What a precious, precious God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Our Father's Love. Our Father's Love. And oh my, you know, I know some of us were blessed with fathers that showed fatherly love. But I have to be very thankful. I did have a very dear and precious daddy who loved the Lord with all his heart. And, I just get thinking about, you know, some of those memories a little bit. And, you know, just from a little girl on, you know, we were pretty much raised on the church pews, and praise the Lord, my dad was a deacon, and he's a Sunday school teacher, and oh my, he, for a while when we were young, he was in charge of the nursing home ministry, the old folks home as we called it back then, and praise the Lord, I remember just as a little girl, my sister Sharon and I, and we would go there and sing. Dad would play his mouth organ, and us sisters would sing, "It is no secret what God can do," and you know, I just thank God, I had a just a wonderful daddy, you know, and I remember he sitting on his lap and he would read to me and all that sort of thing. He would pray with us and all those wonderful things. But, you know, there was another side. You know, my dad was pretty strict. And I knew, you know, if I was naughty, I was going to get it. And, you know, that also gave me a very good fear and respect for my dad because, oh, yeah, I knew if I act up, I know there were a few times I was pretty naughty in church even, and my dad took me downstairs and I got a spanking. But I'll tell you what, that's what a loving father does. Because, oh my, he didn't want me to grow up and be nasty and naughty. No, he wanted me to know love and respect, both of them that work together. And, you know, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I was taught in the ways of the Lord. You know, I remember that night when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful. I was 8 years old and God got a hold of me that night. My dad and my mother were around me, praying with me, and oh, what a wonderful thing it was when the Lord breathed into me, oh yes, the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, and after a time of prayer, I began to speak with other tongues, praise the Lord Jesus, oh yes, I thank the Lord, and you know what, oh, when that happened in my life, it changed me. Praise the Lord, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus the next Sunday, and praise the Lord, life was not the same for me. And I remember my dad didn't have to spank me after that. Not that I was an angel or perfect and all that kind of thing, you know. But praise the Lord, it seemed like God did a work in my life. I know He did a work in my life. He changed me. Praise the Lord, He's still working on me. Oh, praise the Lord, and I praise working on you too, because oh my, we've got a great goal. We've got a destination. We're getting ready to meet the Lord. And oh, yes, how we need to have our hearts made right before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, yes, we need to be ready. We need to have our lamps trimmed and burning. And oh, we have this little time on earth. It goes so, so fast. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when, oh, it's going to be over. But I thank God He's given us opportunity right now to get our hearts right with God and to work for Him while we can yet work for Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, we're going to be talking about our Heavenly Father's love here tonight. And I'm so thankful, oh, yes, for the things that are written in God's Word. And oh my, how we feel His love. Oh my, sometimes He does have to reprove us. Sometimes He does have to chasten us, you know. But that's His love. That's His tenderness. And I'm so glad, oh, that we can put our faith and our trust in an unchanging God who loved us so much that He came to this world to die for our sins, to redeem us, oh yes, from our wicked, nasty self, to make us new creatures in Christ, oh yes, to make us heirs of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, as that very first phrase there, that first verse declares, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the world isn't going to know us. They're not going to recognize the Spirit that dwells within us unless, oh my, God has worked in them in a mighty way so that, oh, they too would be convicted and turn to the living God. But praise the Lord, our Heavenly Father, in spite of the fact that we all lived in our trespasses and sins in a former time, know that God, in spite of the sin in our lives, in spite of the rebellion and all the unclean, unfruitful things we did, he called us unto eternal life. Oh, yes, he drew us unto himself so that we could come to him and repent. And yes, obey the gospel and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So that we could become the sons of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Galatians, the fourth chapter here. Praise the Lord. Again, familiar scripture, but let's look at it. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the eternal plan of God. Oh, yes, to come forth as the Son of God, to put on flesh, to come to this world when the fullness of the time was come. Oh, yes, according to God's ordinance, his timing. Oh, yes, he came forth as the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law. But praise the Lord, he came to redeem us, from sin. Oh, yes, we who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be the children of the living God. Praise the Lord. And he says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, that Spirit of adoption. Oh, yes, when he breathed into us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And we spoke forth in that heavenly language or with those tongues that we never knew before. Praise the Lord. Is, oh, yes, that cry, Abba. Oh, Daddy, a dear one, Daddy. Oh, yes. The Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father. And praise the Lord. He tells us we are no more a servant, but therefore a son or a daughter, of course. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. There's an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that's reserved for the people of the Lord. And at this point, oh my, we can only marvel and think about it. But oh my, when it comes into pass, it's going to be, oh, so amazing. The things that God has reserved for them that love him. Praise the Lord. Oh, that eternal inheritance that's reserved in the heavens for the children of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to Romans, the 5th chapter. More scripture that I want to read here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to start here in Romans 5 with verse 6. It says in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even die, even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I'll tell you what, this is quite revealing here. Yes, it says, you know, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I mean, rarely it would happen that somebody would actually give their life for another individual. And it does say, but peradventure for a good man, some would even die, you know, possibly, you know, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But, you know, the amazing thing of the plan of God, a God who hates sin, a sin that separated us from God and separates from God, in spite of our rebellion and our sinful disobedience and all of that, before we knew Him, before we had opportunity to repent even, or when we were living in our sins and in our trespasses, God reached out to us. And he commended his love toward us. So, praise the Lord, he displayed his love for us. Oh, yes, in such a way, while we were yet sinners. Praise the Lord, while we were still living in that state of sin, that state which the Lord God Almighty hates. Yet, in spite of that, he came to this world. Oh, yes, to take on flesh. Oh, to come as a servant. Oh, yes, for the reason of saving us from our sins. Oh, what a marvelous story this is. God, who loved us so much, we can't really fathom his great love for us. I mean, if you know, when somebody is nasty and mean to us and despicable and all that kind of thing, it's kind of hard, to love that person in a lot of ways. You know, we can have the love of Christ to do so, but you know, it's not natural. But I'll tell you what, that is the amazing thing, that God, oh yes, came to this world as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ, oh yes, to die for us, to die in our stead. Something that was unthinkable, that he would, yes, suffer that death, that excruciating death of the cross, to buy us salvation, to redeem us from our sins. Oh, what a gift we've been given. It tells us in verse 9 here in Romans 5, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled," oh, being bought back, being redeemed, "we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Oh, praise the Lord, he bought us. He atoned for our sins there on the cross. He took our sins upon himself, he who knew no sin, died for us, bought us back into his favor. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, demonstrated his great and wonderful love for us. Even when we were enemies, he died so that we could be reconciled to God, brought back, redeemed, praise the Lord, even made his sons and his daughters. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so that we could be saved by his life. And oh, that we could have a joy that comes through his eternal gift. Oh, yes, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, what a gift we've been given. You know, we know when Jesus came to this earth, he had emotions, he had feelings, he felt pain. He identified with the human race. Oh, he knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be tired. He knew what it was like to be scorned. He knew what it was like to be ridiculed. He knew what it was like to be blasphemed. All those things that sinful, willful man did unto him. And yes, he knew what it was like not to be acknowledged. Oh, yes, to be scorned, to be despised. And oh, you know, here he was, God manifested in the flesh. But yet, you know, people saying, oh, he does these miracles by Beelzebub. Oh, you know, he's just a man. He's the son of Joseph. All these other opinions that they had. You know, at the most, maybe they thought, you know, he was possibly John the Baptist come again, or Elijah the prophet, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But praise the Lord, oh, there were those that had that revelation, as Peter did there in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord, and that comes by his revelation. And praise the Lord, if it's been revealed to you tonight, what a gift you've been given. Oh, to be able to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Praise the Lord, who came to this world to redeem us. Oh, yes, and to show his great love for the children of man. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy what he did. If you could turn with me to John, the 12th chapter, I'd like to read a few verses in John chapter 12. Oh, yes, it was getting near that hour that he would give his life a ransom for many. And oh my, it wasn't an easy thing. And these verses here in John 12 help us to understand the agony that he was going through at those moments before it all happened. Thank you, Lord. Tells us, John chapter 12, turning to verse 23. Verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I think we can imagine this. You know, if we have a jar stored away with seeds in it, they lay there dormant, don't they? Until they are planted into the earth. And here it's talking about that as being a death. Oh, yes, because, oh, yeah, they go into the earth and, you know, that outer shell is going to just all kind of decay and wither up and all. But praise the Lord, out of it bursts a beautiful little embryo. You know, springs of life come forth out of that dead seed. Praise the Lord. But it takes that. It's not until it's planted or put in water that, you know, it is going to bring forth. It's going to, of course, decay. But oh my, it can't do that until it dies, so to speak. And so it is with our life. Oh, yes. Oh, that need to die to self, to our emotions, oh, to self-will, and oh, all the things that man tries to do on his own accord. But praise the Lord, if we're willing, oh, yes, to go forth and repent and turn our lives over to the Lord, all new life will spring forth out of that deadness, that dying to self. He said in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." In other words, oh yes, as we're talking about that dying to self, oh, the natural man wants to strive, oh, to be something, you know, of oneself. Maybe, you know, there's a desire for money, for fame, oh, for friends, whatever ambition might be within that being. And generally, that's what people strive for, all the innermost type of desires, those ambitions that come from within, you know, lands, houses, cars, whatever, all is within a person. But praise the Lord, when we die to the old man, the old nature, and put that all down and surrender to God, oh, and let all those ambitions of the flesh go down. And that would be compared to hating our life in that 25th verse. But praise the Lord, again, the new birth begins to spring forth. And oh yes, that dying out to self, that surrendering to the will of God, brings forth life eternal. Oh, what a wonder it is. And Jesus said in verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." But here it was, these moments before he was going to be brought before Pilate, before, oh yes, the people were going to come to take him in. Oh my, he who had done no sin was not guilty of anything shameful at all. And here it was, he knew what he was going to have to bear on the cross. He said in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Oh my, these were not easy moments. Praise the Lord, and that voice from heaven came, oh yes, to witness, to bear witness, oh yes, of Jesus Christ. Not that people understood it. Oh no, they just said it thundered or an angel spoke to him, but oh my, no, it was there to clarify the reality of who Jesus was, to bear witness of the Christ. Praise the Lord. But oh, we see how Jesus agonized. Oh yes, as a man, he said, "Father, save me from this hour." Oh, but then, oh yes, that realization. "But this is why I came into the world. For this cause came I unto this hour. This is why I'm here, to give my life a ransom for many, so that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Oh, praise the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, when he was lifted up on that cross. Oh, that excruciating pain. Oh, yes, that he bore when he took our sins upon him. Oh, praise the Lord. He was drawing his children unto himself so that we could be his sons and his daughters. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Oh, by the hand of our God. What a wonderful gift. He didn't have to do it. Oh, he could have called those legions of angels to deliver him. But you know, he knew that there was a reason he came to this world. And oh my, he was going to fulfill it. He was going to fulfill it, even though he was a man. And he felt pain, just as we feel pain. And he didn't want to die any more than we would want to die that excruciating death. But praise the Lord, he did it because, oh, he knew there, as he was giving his life a ransom for many, he was going to draw his children unto himself. Oh, yes. That wonderful Father's love. Oh, yes, he was going to bear the sins of his children. You know, for, you know, a righteous man would some even dare to die. But, you know, Christ, who loved us when we were wretched sinners, oh, yes, he died for the ungodly. Oh, what a beautiful gift we have been given by our gracious Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you have done. And we see when he was in Gethsemane, Luke, the 22nd chapter, oh, he went to pray. And he brought with him there to the Mount of Olives his disciples and took particularly Peter, James, and John to that place where he was going to be praying. And you know, he knew his hour was upon him. And he asked them to pray with him. But oh my, we just know, you know, as he said in verse 42 here in Luke 22, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh my, this was agonizing. Oh, this was hard beyond description. He knew what he was going to have to bear on the cross. It wasn't just the pain of it, but it was the horror of bearing our sins. And oh yes, it was that cup. That was the cup that he had to bear. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But oh my, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And this was so difficult. This was so hard. He tells us in verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And it says in verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Oh, we can't imagine this. The sweat was so great. The pain was so excruciating to think what he was going to bear. Oh, my. And you know, the blood was coming from the pores in his face. And I understand when the pores break open and begin to bleed, an individual is very close to death. But here he is in Gethsemane, praying, his sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Oh, that's what he did for us. Oh, yes, that's what he bore for us. Oh, we couldn't do it ourselves. Oh, he knew how helpless we were. We were wretched. Oh, the law was insufficient to deliver from sin. Man couldn't keep it sufficiently for deliverance. So, yes, Jesus came into this world to redeem us. And praise the Lord, there was a price that was paid. Oh yes, and he was in great agony as he prayed. And I'll tell you what, you know, Peter, James, and John, you know, they fell asleep. You know, he was hoping maybe somebody could be there with him to help him at this very, very, very difficult moment, this hour. but they fell asleep. Oh, yes, you know, they didn't have it within them. Oh, yes, to stand with him in his hour of great need. But praise the Lord, regardless, he knew what he was going to bear. And oh, he knew what it was going to bring forth. Oh, it was going to bring forth children, praise the Lord, sons and daughters, heirs of eternal life, you and I that have been redeemed. Isaiah 53 speaks so eloquently of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and that whole chapter talks about him with great exactness. Praise the Lord. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3 here in Isaiah 53 tells us he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But verse 5 tells us, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. Oh, he was bearing our sins. And those stripes, oh, yes, they put upon his back. Oh, those 39 stripes were for our healing. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we have been given. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise the Lord, that gift of eternal life, taking our sins there upon the cross. We who as sheep had gone astray, we who had turned everyone to his own way. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And oh yes, I had a beautiful study with Wild yesterday, and praise the Lord, we talked about Jesus there, and oh, what he did for us, and praise the Lord, you know, we noticed there, when oh, he was there before Pilate. Oh, yes, when he could have spoken up and freed himself, he said nothing. He said nothing. But, oh, yes, when, you know, it was something that would condemn him in the eyes of men, then, yes, he acknowledged that he was the King. Yes, in that sense, he was the Savior. He was the Christ. Oh, my, but he's doing it because, yes, he knew that he was going to pay the price for our sins. It says, verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. It was like, oh my, you know, he didn't, you know, have natural children to follow through and carry on his mission. It seemed like he was cut off, and his generation would be cut off. But oh, praise the Lord, there was a plan beyond that. In spite of the fact that he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Oh no, it might have looked bad at that moment. Oh, you know, even Satan might assumed it all, that was his moment of victory. But no. Oh, there was something great that was coming forth. It tells us in verse 10, did it please the Lord to bruise him? He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Praise the Lord, he saw from the cross. And he knew that, oh, there were people, there were children of God that would come forth because of his sacrifice, because of his offering for sin. He saw his seed. He saw his people that he was redeeming, and he knew he would prolong his days. They would go forth and declare his generation. Despite the fact it might have looked like he was cut off. Oh no, he was going to bring forth a people. Oh yes, that would serve him, that would turn to him. Oh yes, it would become his sons and his daughters. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, praise the Lord. He was buying us. He was interceding for us. He was making a way. Oh, that we could be bought back. Oh, he could see the travail of his soul, what it was going to bring forth. Oh, I know a mother when she's in travail, when she's bringing forth a child. Oh, yes. You know, there's something. Oh yes, there might be pain, there might be anguish, it might be very difficult there. But oh, praise the Lord. What a joy when that child is brought forth. Praise the Lord, you hear that cry of life. But that's what Jesus saw too. He saw you. He saw me. He saw his children. Oh, there was travail, there was anguish, there was pain. Oh, there was sorrow, there was suffering. But praise the Lord, he was bringing forth his people. He was bringing forth his children. Praise the Lord, that travail of his soul. Oh, yes. Was bringing forth his seed. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful gift we've been given. What a joy we have in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'd like to go to a parable that Jesus told now, Luke, the 15th chapter. I believe this parable exemplifies the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for his children, even when we're naughty, so to speak, even when we do things that hurt him desperately. But praise the Lord, our God is so gracious, so kind, and so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to start with verse 11. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto him his living. Okay, here we have two sons in this instance here. And the younger of the two, you know, wants his inheritance before the time. And verse 12 tells us he's beseeching his father to give him his portion of goods that would eventually fall to him. And the father did so. He divided unto them his living, it says. Now it tells us in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And this riotous living we can describe as immoral, debauchery, wasteful, no restraints, very shameful. And it says, his substance, his inheritance, the things that his good father had given to him, he wasted his substance. And then it tells us in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Oh, the Lord causes things to, catch our attention. He spent all his money, and then, oh my, there's a famine. And oh my, he thought he had prosperity. He thought he had all he wanted. He was having a fling. He was doing what he wanted to do. But oh my, all at once, it's over. It is over. Oh, he's in want now. There's a famine in spite of it all. He spent all his money. He has nothing to fall back on now. Tells us in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs. And I'll tell you what, this was not a highly esteemed job by any means. But that was the only thing he could find, it seems to me. And it tells us in verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he's so hungry that he would have willingly, gladly, have filled his belly with a husk. I mean, what's in a husk? That's fiber, if anything, there's nothing sustainable in that, is there? Not that I know of, anyway. But anyway, he's so desperate, he's so hungry, and nobody was generous, or nobody, saw his need and gave to him. And then, oh my, the Lord is using this. And I'm so glad, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God pricked our heart, that day when we began to realize, Lord, I need you. I'm a rotten, nasty sinner, and I've done all these foolish things. Oh, God, what am I going to do with myself? It came to him. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Oh my, he had a family, he had a life back there. He was well fed, he had provisions, he had a place to live, all was good back there. But oh my, the Lord has brought him to this low place, oh my, so he might come to himself. Realize, he needed to get right. He needed to repent. It tells us in verse 18, he thought, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh my, you realize how wretched he was. Oh, how needful he was. And oh my, he realized it would be better to be one of his daddy's servants. Even though if he could never be a son again, in reality, if he could just be a servant. Oh, if he could just get right, he realized, the greatness of his rebellion, his sinful lifestyle, and all that he had done. Praise the Lord. We continue the story in verse 20. Here he is. He'd gone a long ways off. To a far country. To live in the way that his heart had desired. And so it is, and I can imagine, how hungry, how ragged he looked. How pathetic he looked. But I'll tell you what, His daddy was waiting for him. His daddy was watching for him. Oh, praise the Lord. His daddy obviously thought about him every day. That father praying, oh, God, you know my son. He's in trouble. He's not done right. Oh, God, I pray that you would have mercy. Oh, and I know that is the cry of many of our hearts. Oh, yes, I know what it's like when children go astray and don't do right. But, oh, my, here's the Father. And this Father exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ and His great love for us. He tells us in verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that daddy that was looking down the road. I have a feeling every day he was looking down the road and, you know, looking and, oh, it was a long road. Oh, but one day, here it was, he saw this figure. Oh, he was a long ways off. But somehow, this father knew in his heart, that's my son. That's my son that I've been praying for. Oh, that's my son. Oh, yes, I see him. Oh, he got closer. Oh, my. But yet, you know, father wasn't going to wait just too long. It says, but when he was yet a great way off, oh, I could recognize him. And oh, that daddy was so anxious, oh, to see his son again. Oh, to embrace his son again, to have compassion on his son again, that he ran to his son. Praise the Lord. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, praise the Lord. The love that Jesus Christ has for us. Oh, even though we've sinned, we've been rebellious, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, my. We've all done things not to be proud of, oh, but to be ashamed of. And here it is. Verse 21, it says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found." And they began to be merry. Oh, praise the Lord. A day of rejoicing. And we know that it tells us earlier portions of this chapter that, oh, yes, the angels in heaven rejoice over a sinner that repenteth. Oh, great joy in the heavens over a sinner that repenteth. And this all symbolizes the great events that happen. Oh, yes, with that one who has wandered away from God comes back. Oh, turns around that life of rebellion and sin. Oh, acknowledges his or her willful disobedience and sinful ways, and comes, oh yes, to God Almighty, acknowledging one's sin and repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And oh, how that father received this son. Oh, no, you're not going to be a servant. No, you're my son, and I'm going to restore you. Praise the Lord. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. That ring was probably the family name and all that, a signet of the family. And you know, it would indicate that, you know, he was a member of that family. So, yes, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, praise the Lord. The rejoicing in heaven. Oh, our Heavenly Father who waits for us. Oh, He would that none would perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That's the hope of His heart. Oh, yes. That disobedient one, that willful one. Oh, yes. Would turn his life over before it's too late. Oh, would repent. Oh, yes. And give it all over to the living God. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. He said, there are those that are last that shall be first. You know, there are those that have not yet come in that the Lord is going to receive and bring in as his son or daughter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord, the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And oh, there was rejoicing. Tells us in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And this older son, he tells us in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. Oh my, no, there's great love for this older son too. And praise the Lord. Oh yes, it didn't seem right to him. You know, this son that had spent all his father's money in riotous living and all of that, and had been so long gone, and oh, had they, you know, had insisted upon the inheritance before it was time and all of that. Well, what right did he have? But praise the Lord, the father came out and entreated him. Verse 29 says, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Oh, this is the father's reply in verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Oh, praise the Lord. Hold on to the end, folks. Oh, don't give up. Oh, don't give up in despair or discouragement. Don't let anything take your crown. We're near the end, brothers and sisters, or getting near that time when the Lord is coming back again. And we don't want anything to hinder that inheritance, that gift of God. Oh, those wonderful things that His love has brought forth, will bring forth for His children. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The father said unto this older son, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, or in other words, it was appropriate that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful love of our Lord. Oh, who looks out for that one who has gone astray. Oh, yes, who makes a way, and oh, rejoicing when that one returns to the fold. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a gift we've been given. What love our Father has bestowed upon us that we might become the sons of God. What glorious and wonderful love He has shown us. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's go to John the 15th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15. It says in John 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's great joy. Oh, yes, not only in heaven when that sinner repented, but all that joy that fills our hearts when we realize and know and feel. Oh, yeah, those are reassurances that come from God and know that those sins that separated us from Almighty God have been taken away, that we've been delivered. Oh, yes, from the power of death, from that condemnation that was over our heads. Oh, that like a fire that we were doomed for, except for the mercies of God. Oh, yes, oh, the greatness of his love toward us. Oh, that he would take the death of the cross. He would bear that death of the cross to redeem us, to buy us back, oh, so that we could be drawn unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. We shall ever be with the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us here, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Praise the Lord. There's no greater love than that. Oh, that is the greatest sacrifice that anyone could ever give, to lay down his life for a friend. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I. Oh, we who have come to the living God in repentance and acknowledging of sins. Oh, yes, we have obeyed his commands. And oh, yes, been buried with him in the waters of baptism with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And he says in verse 15 here, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. You know, how are we worthy to be accepted like that? Oh, you know, oh, that prodigal son, he just, you know, as he was returning home, if I could just even be a servant. No, I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. And how could we ever say that we are worthy to be sons and daughters of Almighty God? But praise the Lord, that is the price that he paid on the cross. Oh, that is the seed that he brought forth. Oh, yes, when he gave up the ghost. And, oh, he took upon our sins upon himself. Oh, my, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, yes, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Praise the Lord. And I just believe that, you know, if we can stay in tune with the Lord, he's going to direct us. He's going to lead us. He's going to keep us out of trouble. He's going to help us to know how to prepare. Oh, yes, we're going to, you know, have that sense. Oh, yes, that his coming is at hand and all the things that are needful. Oh, we're going to be waiting and watching for his return. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And it says that whatsoever ye shall ask. Well, let's read verse 16 first. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And oh, praise the Lord, that we would be fruitful, that, oh, yes, he would grow in us, and, oh, yes, there would be things of beauty that would come forth because of our lives, things that we can give back to the Lord. You know, that light, that witness, oh, the gifts of the Spirit, but, oh, yes, fruit. That, oh, yes, because he lives in us. I mean, because he has chosen us and ordained us. And yes, for the reason of going forth and bringing forth fruit. And not only just for the moment, but he says that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask of the Father in my name. He may give it you. Praise the Lord. These things I command you, that you love one another. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a price our God paid for our salvation. Oh, yes. You know, we were not redeemed with silver and gold. My filthy conversation, our traditions, the man, all the things of our past. It wasn't that kind of redemption by any means, no. But all we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who bought us. Oh, and who redeemed us, who established us, that we might be called the sons of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a gift that is. What a love he has shown, that we might be adopted, that we might be heirs of his promise. Oh, my, that we might have an inheritance in the heavens. And what a great and wonderful inheritance it is that he has reserved for his people. Oh, praise the Lord. I love that description that, oh, yes, he gives us here in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. He says, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Praise the Lord, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise the Lord, we are begotten. Oh, yes, brought into the family of God, born again as his sons and daughters unto a lively hope, a real hope, a living hope. Praise the Lord, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he has done for us. He bore our sins on that cross of Calvary. He died for us. He gave his life so freely, oh, that we might know salvation, that we might become heirs of eternal life. Oh, yes, that we might be participants in his kingdom. Oh, yes, that he might put upon us that spirit of his inheritance. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, yes. And oh yes, he has an inheritance waiting for his people. And what a description it is here in 1 Peter verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, something that doesn't decay. Oh, something that isn't corrupted. It's undefiled. Oh, my. And it fadeth not away. Praise the Lord, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, praise our God. Oh, what a wonder it is. Oh, the wonderful God who made us his sons and daughters. Oh, and as it says in 1 John, that third chapter in verse 1 again, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Oh, praise the Lord. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, praise the Lord. What manner of love. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this great love that you have showed us. Oh, that you have bestowed upon us. Oh, God, that you blessed us with, that we might reach out, Lord, to be heirs of eternal life. Oh, God, be recipients of thy inheritance. All the good things that thou hast prepared for them that love you. Oh, which eye hath not seen, nor ear hath not heard. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your great and wonderful love. Oh, God, I pray that you talk to our hearts. Oh, help us, Lord. Oh, God, thy goodness and mercy is so great. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Oh, yes, because we love you, because you have loved us. Oh, God, and we thank you that you purchased our salvation, praise the Lord, and made us your sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, our Father's love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Holy Name. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 166 and sing His Love for Me, number 166. It was His love for me that nailed Him on a tree. None else could pay the fee for all my sin. He all my guilt did claim, the great Redeemer paid. Greatest Christ ever made to set me free. It was His love for me that nailed Him on a tree. None else could be the fee for all my sin. He all my guilt did claim, the great Redeemer paid, the greatest price in me. It was His love for me that nailed Him on a tree. None else could save me from sin. He all my guilt did claim, the great Redeemer paid, the greatest price in me to set me free. It was His love for me that nailed Him on a tree. None else could pay the fee for all my sin. He all my guilt became, the great Redeemer paid, the greatest price e'er made.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe out there. Praise God.